Jai.
Hi, Jai.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
Speaker view, there we go.
What?
I don't see your kit. Oh, hold on. Let's see, where is, maybe I got to put it back to gallery view again. iPhone.
I'm on an iPhone.
Yep, I just said ask to start video.
Me too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, got it. Here you go.
Good, good.
Hi.
Hello. Good.
Hello. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good.
Hi. Okay. I think that's good.
Yep. What bridge is that? What bridge is that?
Just some random thing.
I think it's Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, isn't it?
Golden Gate Bridge, it's just a picture, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just a picture, okay. A
virtual background.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
Good, good.
The snake in the road, in the rope, it looks like he was truly there.
Yeah.
Sir, you are looking like if we give one shape to American Scholar by Emerson, definitely that person would look like the male version.
Oh, okay.
Happy to see you.
Happy to see you too. Good, good.
John, you know, if I die right in front of you, I think I don't mind.
Die right in front of? Okay, okay. Well, you're formless. So, again, the concept of birth and death is only to the body. And you know you're not a body. So this concept of birth and death, if you die right in front of me, who's this me and who's dying? No one's dying, no one's taking birth. It's formlessness, it's appearance and disappearance. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the same as the lighter. You know, you light it and flame, no flame. Flame, no flame. Flame, no flame. It's the same.
Oh.
Kathleen is there. Did you want to start your camera, Kathleen, or you're happy with no camera? Oh, you're starting. You're starting on your own. Okay. Good, good. Hello, hello.
Oh, there I go. I guess I wasn't.
There you are, Keith. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Oh, Rami dropped off. He's coming back on now.
Oh, yeah, now Rami's off.
Rami appears and disappears.
Indeed, yeah.
I'm using system, so I could see everyone at one place.
There you go. Now you just have a green screen behind you. No bridge.
No, this is room actually. In fact.
Oh, okay. I thought it was one of those green screens.
It's perfectly blended like a virtual background.
That's a pretty color.
Yeah. See, the owner of this home is an Indian. So, Harry forwarded that color scheme.
I was talking to a friend of mine about the stuff he's interested to some degree. And he's reading this book, Alan Watts, Psychotherapy East and West. And he called me up one morning recently and he mentioned in the book, Watts refers to the philosophy of a guy named Wittgenstein. Well, I haven't really read that much of, but I've heard some interesting things about what he says. But one thing Wittgenstein says was we interpret reality, supposed reality, according to logical necessity, such as we believe and assume and see things to be in such a way as the idea that if this, then that, and that's the way the mind works. It assumes that it knows what something is, and then it further assumes it knows what something else is. But then I looked it up, and logical, also in philosophy, there's logical necessity, then there's also what's called empirical necessity that we perceive with. And that's very, very much similar. What you experience, you assume to be. And I felt that meaning deeply, the meaning of what that means, and that actually that's not true, and that there is no necessity of anything being as we believe we know it.
Because I believe myself to be a body, I see other bodies, I see a world, and I see objects. When I know myself in a real sense, all of that disappears. I would tell your friend to throw this book away and read I Am That.
I do tell him that. But
that's, I can only say in my own experience, I used to post like little Facebook posts and stuff with Maharaj, and that's what kind of got Ramakant Maharaj to come and join the Facebook page. It was actually Charles and Anne, but I thought it was Ramakant Maharaj. And then there was some talking and stuff. And when I prepared to go and see him in India, the two required readings, this was before I actually had Skyped with him or anything, the two required readings they had was I Am That and Master of Self-Realization. I Am That was profound. Like, I read that and it just kept like hammering and hammering and hammering, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't get it, so to speak, but there was something there. And this presence that I had started to feel was very, very pleased by reading Nisargadatta Maharaj. So then it said Master of Self-Realization. And I go like a good disciple. I go online and I order Master of Self-Realization, and it comes and I start reading it. And I'm like, oh, I can't read this. Because I Am That was like a conversational thing. And now here's Master of Self-Realization. And it's starting with like the four bodies and the bodies and the this and the this. So I put it aside for a moment and I said, okay, these are required readings. What I can do, maybe I'm not at the level where I can read Master of Self-Realization. So I'm going to go back and read I Am That again. And I did that. I went and I read I Am That again. And again, that presence, that feeling, like Maharaj says, reading the reader, it just resonated. It got so strong. And then after I finished the I Am That, I picked up Master of Self-Realization, and suddenly it was okay. I was understanding and absorbing. And then I read the whole Master of Self-Realization. And by that time, then Maharaj's book, Selfless Self, had come out. So I sat down, I started reading that on the train. And I would say anything that has to do, Alan Watts is beautiful, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed a lot of his stuff. I like his videos and things like this. But our path is direct. There's no kind of beating around the philosophical bush. It is direct. And all it's meant to do is read the reader. As you're reading I Am That, as you're reading Master of Self-Realization, as you're reading Selfless Self, as you're reading Ultimate Truth, it resonates. Presence is pleased, as Maharaj would say. And you can feel that. And you're just like, oh, so that I am that. And then the reading is saying, I am that, I am that, I am that. Oh, so that I am that. This presence, I am that. And it's just hammering the book, the teachings, the presence, everything coming together and putting in one way. No thinking, no logic, no figuring it out. It's just, it's killing you, basically. It's like a hammer hammering a nail. You're the nail and it's driving you away. And it's powerful. So I would say to anyone who's interested in any of this stuff, I am that. Because I am that is kind of a conversational thing. It's very nice. After you've read it a couple of times, then it suddenly dawns on you that Nisargadatta Maharaj is the absolute who knows he's the absolute. And all these questioners are the absolute with the concept of whatever question they're asking. And Nisargadatta Maharaj is answering only from the perspective that this question is not true. And he's basically speaking from the absolute standpoint to all these questioners who are the absolute, but still have this doubt that's sort of covering themselves as a questioner. And he's just helping to remove that. So it's a dialogue of the absolute with the absolute. One that purely understands and knows I am that. And the other one that has an inclination to understanding I am that and is asking questions based on the belief that they're a body. And he's like, no, 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 just remember you're not a body. And the absolute is like, okay, yes, I understand this, but I don't have it all the time. And Maharaj says, well, you know, there's no time, you know, get rid of that and this. And it is the absolute dialoguing with the absolute, which is what brings that reading the reader, brings that incredible sense of presence that just blows you away. Or all the ideas you have about yourself away.
I noticed that, you know, the more I use the word experience, the depth of self or self or whatever, it's like, I'm seeking reality. I want to know reality. And I feel that when I'm in that state, I see reality. I mean, I am reality. There's no question what reality is. And so with the pursuit of reality, the bonus is that it feels good.
Oh, again, you, by recognizing presence, the recognition and the projection, then suddenly it's like, okay, this presence has appeared to something that you are. And now whether presence is or is not, that one who to whom presence has appeared is. And that's finished. Okay, now we're all enlightened and we can go home. Because it's that position of knowingness. It's that, okay, I know presence. This I that knows presence is prior. And whether presence is there or not, you are. Just like if you know a beach, you have to be there to know, oh, that's a beautiful beach. That's a beautiful sunrise. I am there prior to this beach and this sunrise. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be able to experience this beach or sunrise. It would be part of my own self, and I would not know that because I'm not going to know myself unless I have some kind of concept of something other, which is body, that I can know the sense of presence. Oh, yes, there's formless presence. Knowing formless presence kills the world because how can this, that all this is coming from, we just eliminate the world. Now I just concentrate on this presence, consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, the sense of existence with the sense of existence, I am with I am. And then it dawns on you that you're observing this I am, this sense of existence, this presence. Now that you can't explain, that you don't know, and that there are no words for, but the more you stay from that position of seeing nothing but presence and viewing your entire world through this lens of presence, what can disturb you? And the more you remain here, then you just know. It's a, okay, presence is. And all of this is appearing on that. And I'm experiencing because I'm assuming a position of a role within this, thinking that I'm in this rather than this is in my own self. And even this is just an appearance. And the one to whom it's appearing is you.
So during the deep sleep, what happens to, okay, this role, whatever you are, we are discussing as an individual. So those things are no longer available in during the sleep. Now, what is the stand during the sleep?
In deep sleep, the knowingness subsides. There's no knowingness, but there's nothing to know the no knowingness. It's just you. And of course, you're still there, because if you weren't still there, then there couldn't be dream and there couldn't be waking up. You would just go off into oblivion. And to whom would waking up occur if there was no you in deep sleep? Knowingness subsides. I know nothing, nothing to know. But I am, because then when the knowingness happens, then the knowingness produces a dream state and then produces a waking dream state. Or it doesn't produce, but these are appearing to you. They're on that presence. So a deep sleep is there's nothing to know and no one to know anything, but also no one to complain that there's nothing to know because there's nothing. Then, as Maharaj says, this something within the nothing, this dream, now I create this dream world and I'm a character in the dream world, and all the five elements are at my disposal to build and design a beautiful dream world and play in it. And then I say I'm waking up, which is again using the five elements to build and design a beautiful dream world and walking around in it. But now you no longer believe you're a dream character, you believe you're Rami, because mom and dad told this lump of goo that you were Rami, rather than say, Rami, we're going to call you Rami, but you're formless presence. And Rami is just a label for the car that you're driving around in so that you can experience your waking dream. Just like when you fall asleep at night, maybe Rami or George, maybe you're George in your dream. George is the body or the car that you need to drive around to experience your dream state. And when there is no knowingness, there's no body that you need to create to experience, because there's nothing to experience, nor is there an experiencer. And yet you are, because all these states come to you. Waking, sleep, dream, the experience of I am. All these are just layers on your presence.
So in that case, right, you know, this absolute or that fundamental essence is not changing at all.
Correct. Of the,
then the idea of separate self is an illusion.
Self-realization you can have when you're in the waking dream and you're believing yourself to be an individual seeking your own self. But all of that is within the bubble of illusion. There's no self-realization in this way, other than now you know yourself in a real sense, so you're no longer fooled by this waking dream or this dream or the deep sleep or the I am. You no longer think that your existence depends on body, mind, ego, intellect, or a world even. That's why we talked about last week, even if the earth just exploded and all 8 billion people were blown off the planet, you are, and nothing has gained or nothing has lost.
Yeah, it looks, this looks like a phenomenon. So
You're the phenomenon, yes.
Okay.
You're the appearance. You're the something in the nothing. Or not you, but the you you believe yourself to be, this Rami, this John, all these people, we're the something in the nothing. And we are in nothing all the time. Nothing is ourself.
So this something is appearance, right?
It's appearance, yes. Because just like waking state, dream state, deep sleep state are all appearances, and there's one continuum. One, I guess they call it noumenon or noumen. Instead of phenomenon, it's the one without the phenomenon. I don't know the exact technical terms, but these phenomena appear to you and disappear, and you are. So waking state, deep sleep state, I am, sense of all these things are appearing to you. And whether they are there or not, you are. And that's how you know in the deep sleep, you go to bed tonight and you're going to forget yourself. And there's nothing wrong with this because there's nothing to know. The knowingness subsides. There's no Rami. You're not pretending to be Rami. And as soon as this kind of consciousness clicks and says, I exist, then you're going to project either a dream world or maybe it's the end of the sleep and you project a waking world. And the five elements in the dream and the five elements in the waking world are all formless. They're only within form, within the consciousness of the dream, whether it be a waking dream or a sleep dream. It's the same consciousness. So the five elements create and do all this stuff, and you're kind of thinking that you're inside of this thing when all of this is appearing. And when it disappears, you are.
So here, if I am thinking means, is this I referring to the absolute? Or is this I is the phenomenon, appearance, the so-called I?
There's no thinking for the absolute, or the presence doesn't think because there's no apparatus for thinking. It uses your apparatus to pretend to think.
Okay. This boogeyman is thinking that he is the real.
Because of the fact that you want to exist. Now that you know your sense of existence, you want to exist forever. And that's why we all sit there and say, what happens when I die? Am I going to go off to the harp land and on all of this kind of stuff? Or do I go to hell? Or what happens? And like Maharaj says, the space in the ashram and the space in the toilet, when the walls come down, where does the space go? The walls are these bodies.
Okay. That means now the idea is responding to the discussions, you know, the ideas are set of ideas. So these set of ideas, you know, are projecting as the Rami or the self. These so-called self is not existing. And that is illusion. So that one has to realize, not the absolute. Absolute is always same.
It doesn't have to realize. It's just the mind will stop when you stop identifying with the thoughts that are just randomly flowing through as my thoughts. There's a flow of thoughts. You identify with them as my thoughts. You think these thoughts and put it into action. Mind, ego, intellect creates an action.
John, here in this flow, right, the problem is there is no issue when there is no identification, you know. Thoughts come, you know, sometimes we just take food or do some mechanical activities. At that time, there is no issue. But the issue is coming when I'm operating as so-and-so in the, you know, with respect to others, with respect to the circumstances. So the problem is the, you know, identification.
Yeah, the problem is you just forgot yourself. And Maharaj says, if you fall back in the illusory ditch, mantra, remain with your selfless self. You just temporarily forget yourself, just like we talked about in the Nisargadatta Maharaj absolutely knows from the absolute standpoint. And now the absolute is coming with all these different various doubts because they're listening to a mind flow and identifying these are my questions, my doubts. And Maharaj is just removing. Das Bodh does this beautifully. where at the beginning it says there is a doubt from the questioner, and it lists out all the doubts. And every single chapter ends with, now this doubt has been removed, let's go and please pay special attention to the next chapter, which is another doubt that's being removed. And once you identify yourself in a real sense, the mind flow is going to stop because there's nothing to think about. There's no you there that's trying to gain anything from this existence. Although you'll still pay your bills, you still go to work. Like Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties. But there's no overarching protecting of this character that you've created, that you think is yourself, all because of identification with a body. Anytime you get into any kind of like upset or whatever, just think, if I wasn't the body, which I know I'm not, I've been told I'm not, would I think that this is a troubling situation?
Something appears trouble because, you know, there is identity with the body, right? But yeah, if there is no identification with the body, then where is the trouble?
And because, yeah, because of identification with the body, you believe the thoughts that you're doing deeds, good deeds and bad deeds, and you're taking debits and credits and all this sort of stuff, instead of just knowing, okay, like Maharaj says, it's a long dream. And in this long dream, whatever's in front of me, I'm going to do the best that I can. And all expectations, leaving all this, because I'm not doing anything. And when I know myself in a real sense, automatically the sense of doership is gone. How can the formless presence do anything? And everything that's done is within your own self. So who's the doer? And how are their deeds? Like we just said, all these appearances of waking state, dream state, deep sleep, I am, all of these are appearances. So there's absolutely no deed, no doer, no experience, no experiencer. There's just this, that you are.
Das Bodo, I was just reading, he says that it starts with wind. Wind is like the, gets everything else going.
This is the explanation of the illusory existence. When you believe yourself to be a body form and you need to explain the illusory existence from the perspective that you're believing yourself to be a body. Once you know yourself in a real sense, then the whole story of creation and all this sort of stuff, it doesn't make sense. But like it is talked about, one thorn to remove another thorn. I believe I'm a body, therefore I need a cause and effect, and I need a creation of existence. How were the five elements created? Well, the five elements, and I think Das Bodh ends with the fact that nothing is. You know, you can simply say nothing is. Therefore, this creation of the five elements and the movement and how the dissolution of the universe and the creation of the universe, nothing was ever created. Only from the perspective of being a body in a world do I see a creation. There's no creator. Nothing is happening. Nothing has ever happened, and nothing can or will ever happen.
John, you know, it looks like something is happening or something looks real, because at least my understanding, my experience is because of pain and the pleasure principles. You know, because of the pain, and the pleasure, the idea of seeking pleasure, right? These things, you know, somehow making the world more real, you know?
This is through mind. Mind is there to kind of give you a boost of the world. And pain and pleasure happens when you believe yourself to be a doer and you want to re-experience something. You allow a desire, because if you're formless, think about it, Rami, if you didn't have a body, how are you going to have these desires? A desire comes, oh, I want to eat a chocolate cake. But if you're not a body, how are you going to eat this chocolate cake? So this desire would not disturb you. It will just pass by. And all desires do this when there's no identification with, I'm Rami, I'm having this desire to eat chocolate cake.
And I guess unless you think, your mind thinks you're eating a chocolate cake, There's no reason to believe you are eating a chocolate cake.
Well, I mean, we have to know yourself in a real sense through meditation. That's why Maharaj says we can go on hours, years together. You can move to India and live in the ashram right next to Maharaj. But if you don't know yourself in a real sense, just nothing's going to happen. You have to directly experience your own self through meditation. And that is the sense of existence, the sense of presence, and remain there. No matter, at first it may seem very, very subtle and very, very small, but you just remain. And then as you open your eyes and you move about, you know, you're seeing through the lens of presence. All of this is appearing on spontaneous presence, including this body that I used to believe myself that I was. Only because I was told. I was told I was this body. It wasn't like I got to experience that for myself and say, you know, nobody told me I'm a body and then suddenly I'm experiencing and finding out and all this. No, somebody told you you were a body. And from that perspective, you began to absorb knowledge of the world that you were in, when in reality, the world was in you. Because you are not a body. Just as tonight, when you go to sleep and you have a dream, you are not that body. Although in the dream, you may very much try to take care of that body and protect that body and all of those things, because your belief in body is strong. Meditation. And going back to the very beginning of Keith's friend, I am that master of self-realization, selfless self. Maharaj says this all the time. Read these, because this is reading the reader. That sense of presence will awaken as you're reading, and the recognition and the projection will be strong. You'll be reading the reader. Oh, this is my story. That's what Maharaj says. This is my story. I know this. It's my story. Not the story of, like Maharaj says, not the story of Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master. No, this is my story. Read in that way. Philosophy books are nice if I'm going to college and I'm studying philosophy, because then within the illusion, I want to do well on my philosophy test, so I read a philosophy book. But I don't read a philosophy book to find myself. I want a direct experience. Why should I, to get to my house, travel 20 miles in one direction, 20 miles in another direction, 20 miles in another direction, just to get to my own house, when I can just drive straight to the house?
Ramakant talks about practical knowledge.
Yes, yes. Know yourself in a real sense. Because if you don't know yourself in a real sense, all the knowledge that you're acquiring is just body-based knowledge, and it's absolutely, totally, completely useless, other than to get you to know yourself in a real sense. The body-based knowledge is you're told that you're formless, you're told that you are Brahman, you're told that you are not the body. And now the practical experience is to live this in each day's march, knowing my master says I'm formless. My master says I'm no body. And I keep, no, 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 I remain. I have complete and total faith in the master. Without faith in the master, no.
You are shaming me.
No, it's just the truth. If you have to have this direct experience of yourself. And when you do, then that's it. Then you can ask questions of your own selfless self. And the cool thing is, when you ask questions of your own selfless self, deafening silence is the answer.
Oh. You know, when I listen you, right? It goes to a state where I forget the things, you know, which bothers me in the waking state. I learned whatever that. Sometimes, you know, it goes subtle, but again, after coming out of this call, maybe it continues, the state continues for a few hours a day. And gradually, you know, this day-to-day things start, you know, encroaching that peace, quietness. At least that is replaced by the, you know, the tensions at the job or the day-to-day, you know, daily bread and water problems.
That's why Maharaj says it's so important. Balseb Maharaj had bhajans 3 times a day. And so you should develop a routine to be remaining with your selfless self as much as possible. Keep in touch with your selfless self, whether it be bhajans on the way to work or bhajans at lunch or bhajans in the evening or reading something from the masters or listening to the video from the masters. It should be constant. Like, I don't, like you just said, when I get involved in the work and this and that, okay, after a long day at work, you come home and listen to the masters or listen to bhajans on the way home from the work or something like this, to keep in touch, to keep contact with your own selfless self, to keep that spiritual atmosphere.
But here, right, you know, earlier you said one thing, whenever the mind is going, or, you know, it is so new identification is starting, or world is again coming back, then you are saying, no, that is not, come back. That's what one pointer you said. So that thing could be applied. And the other thing is, the way you talk, right, I don't think that, you know, that day-to-day activities are being impacting you. So,
because it's just scenes appearing and disappearing. There's no one in the scenes. The scenes are appearing and disappearing. There's action in the moment. Spontaneously, it's left. And we have a nice phone that if people need to get in contact or you know, you need to know the time or whatever, you have this phone that will do all that for you. And then it's just scenes, just like we talked. Here we are, we're all talking, then scene, turn this off, then put all the stuff that needs to be done to put the video up, and that's it. It's just a, but there's nobody doing it. There's no, it's just a flow, like just scenes appearing and disappearing, appearing and disappearing. Then there's sleeping, then there's waking up, then there's work, then there's going here, going there, getting in the car, going with my son to King's Dominion. But these are all scenes. They're just appearing before you.
I'm great to ask this here. See, you advised me after, you know, just before that, do bhajans. Maybe, you know, you'll be stuck in the work and you'll come back. Rather than, you know, doing bhajans and come back, how can be like, you know, all the time, you know, not impacting by these scenes or the outside world? Either could be sleep, dreaming, waking.
This is spontaneous conviction. Oh, so that I am that. Remain with the sense of presence, the sense of I am. Remain with your selfless self.
How to dance to that? Meditation.
Well, again, in any moment, you right now, you have a body and there's presence. Presence is, so you just drop back. And you just drop back and you're there. And only are you there when you're thinking about being there. Otherwise, you are there. But now that you have to separate and say, oh, I need to be there, there's because I'm going to use this body instrument to drop back into presence. But normally, in your normal activities, you are presence. So there's just a using of the body in the moment for what needs to be done and leaving it. You can use your body. You can say, okay, now I'm going to be in meditation just for a moment here. And just drop back. And then you know that's all of this, and everything is arising on that. And now, if I want to say, okay, now my eyes are just seeing presence. When I say seeing presence, it's not like, it's like a curtain almost of just presence, and you know that this is all of everything. And that same presence is in you and in all the beings. So therefore, there's no others. Lumps of goo. Like literally, mom, dad get together, they create a lump of goo and they stamp the name Rami on it. But mom and dad are presence, believing themselves to be mom and dad from that perspective. And your presence, who doesn't even know yourself yet, until you start doing things and people say, good job, Rami, and bad job, Rami. And here's Rami and there's other. Because I believe myself to be a body, I now see a world and objects within that world. None of it's true. Then you meet a master who says, you are not body. Just as your parents believing themselves, again,